Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. I am live to you from California. Welcome to Counting the Days, Recovery Through the Romance Side of the Brain. My hope is that my show will encourage you to live your intended self in harmony with your traumatic brain injury, to live with less resistance and to create an allowing state of being. I am Tyler Stanley, your host. I am an author, scriptwriter, non-practicing lawyer, and TBI resource specialist, and of course, survivor. On today's show, I'm just going to open it up for discussion to talk about life. I want, if you want to call in and share your story, because this radio time, this air time, is for you, not for me. My website for additional information, or if you want to order the book, Counting the Days, Recovery Through the Romance Side of the Brain, you can find me, you can email me at tylerstanley.net. If you have a question for me or would like to discuss your story, the call-in number is 347-857-3755. Again, my goal is that this airtime belong to you. This isn't about my story. This is a long-distance call, so you may want to use your free cell minutes. There is also a live call-in option for those of you sitting at your computer, just to use the click-to-talk feature, which will allow you to call into the show from anywhere in the world at no charge. If you have a question for me, you can also type it in the online chat forum, which I have up right here on my switchboard. And hopefully I will see your question. I can answer your question after the show ends as well, and or for next Sunday morning. So welcome to Counting the Days on the channel Totally Traumatic Brain, and I really appreciate you being here. And today I'm going to have a little less script, meaning I'm kind of not going to do the news because I really want to open some real quiet time up for hearing your story. There's got to be somebody out there who wants to talk about their experience, whether you're a caregiver or you're a survivor. So I'm going to share a really interesting and fun day I had yesterday. If you listened to last week's show, Patricia Gill, the executive director of the Marin Brain Injury Network, was on, and she was talking about the author event called In Their Words, where authors reflect on their journey through brain injury. That was yesterday, and it was fabulous. We filled the seats. There were two other amazing authors. Megan Timothy was one of the authors that I shared time with there yesterday, and she's the author of 12,000 Miles for Hope's Sake and Let Me Die Laughing. She had her injury stems from an aneurysm, and as I listened to her, and then I listened to the next speaker, who was also a stroke survivor, Allison Bond Shapiro, she's the other author, and then she had a guest with her, Rita Martin, who is also an amazing survivor of stroke. So, wow, powerful, powerful voices, and I thought, since I went on at 1:30, I thought, boy, how can I tell my story and what to say, and got all kind of nervous listening to them because I thought, wow, they're real pros. I ended up learning from them quite a bit. So by the time I did go on, I felt that I had a real good grip on my story, but better yet, my philosophy. And so I'll get into that in a little bit, but I did want to just share the MB&I event in Larkspur. That's in the Bay Area, for those of you not in California. And it was just great. And I have a real special heart for the center, the Marin Brain Injury Network Center, because as I talked yesterday, 30 years ago when I was injured, there wasn't anything. Nobody knew anything about TBI. It wasn't even a quote-unquote diagnosis. What ailed me, TBI, at that time was just referred to as behavior problems, behavior issues, and the behavior was treated with major doses of drugs to nearly just, incapacitated me. So there wasn't any treatment. And the rehab back then was just to incarcerate someone or to institutionalize someone. And lucky for me, there was I was thinking about a woman that worked in one of the hospitals that I was at, that I was a patient, and she actually had been doing some research, and I thought of her yesterday, Jill, and she actually knew about TBI, and so that's when my real understanding of what had happened to me began. Of course, it was a long road after that, because I, like many people, deny that you have a disability. I mean, I went through so many years just not even willing to look that I had a disability, because it really didn't manifest itself. I'd gotten so good at compensation, and I had just gotten so good at concealing that, and then I continued to make my way through the educational system, and the more educated I got, I thought, well, you know, this is I have maybe a slight learning disability, but I certainly never gave it the full range of issues that TBI had brought in my life, and that how it affects other people and other survivors. And so I really denied that I had an injury, and I got away with it because there was no manifestation. I had pretty normal relationships. I was in school. I had goals and dreams, and I was going to become a district attorney, and that was my lifelong goals, and to be an author. And so, hey, life was doing pretty good. And then about 2002, I think it was, I had been hit with some tragic circumstances, some bad news, and some very high stress time, and found myself at the San Jose Brain Injury Clinic there, and really learned to embrace my injury, and that's, you know, from where I come in the last years with my injury. And part of why I'm here is to give a foundation for hearing your story and letting people share, even if it's for the first time. Call in at 1-347-857-3755 and let us know your journey and what's happened with you, with your TBI, or, of course, again, caregivers, let's talk. I know you have amazing stories as well, as I watched my mother, who was my caregiver, struggle and really give up so much of her life to take care of me. And I know there's other stories out there, and I'm actually going to share a few today. And in my work, I have numerous years in working with people with disabilities, TBI, not necessarily specific, but TBI as well, and families. I've been the advocate, sort of, or the bridge between the person, the survivor, and the caregiver to try and help the caregiver understand the survivor. And I really enjoyed that kind of networking when I was in the field working at nonprofits as an advocate. And I created many and facilitated many groups, peer support groups for persons, survivors of TBI. So a couple of stories that I had until you call in and bravely tell your story to the world here. I had one guy, he had a forklift injury. He had been working in, he was working in a warehouse, and they had a new trainee on the forklift, and the trainee dropped the forks on his head as he was straightening out a pallet or something, getting it kind of moved around ready for this guy to pick it up. And the guy overshot the pallet, went above the pallet, and in trying to get the forks down, hit this young man in the head, which, of course, that's a serious TBI. His life, he was married at the time, you know, so he has a job, he's married, he's got, I think, I remember he had one daughter, and so he had a family, and They had their apartment and their life, and then all of a sudden the tragedy strikes, you know, TBI. And his journey was very difficult because this involved a lawyer, needing a lawyer to sue the company and make sure that he was medically taken care of, and that didn't work out well. There are some lawyers out there that really aren't very good, and many that are, of course, but sometimes people with disabilities end up getting a lawyer that may or may not really understand their issue. And so what eventually I worked with this gentleman, he came to one of the peer support groups I was doing, and I worked with him and also his family. I helped them, just advocated and helped him, you know, make a complaint to the state bar on this with this attorney so he could try and get another attorney and, you know, somebody with a TBI specialty and all of that. We eventually did all that. It took a lot of work, of course, and a lot of persistence and determination from him. What was amazing to me was his spirit, his determination, and his faith. He had a lot of faith, and his family stayed intact. It was tough. Man, they'd come in there, and they would argue right in front of my desk. And it was difficult to see them at such odds around TBI, but you know they were making it. That's how they were making it. He slowly was making it through his recovery, and with the agency I work for, we sort of were the mediators. And so I mediated. Sometimes some days I went to work, I felt like a marriage counselor. Advocate / marriage counselor / just about everything else in order to support families and survivors. So his story was pretty tragic. But the beauty of it was just the strength that came out of that, the power, his wanting to understand about his injury and doing something about it. I mean, really doing something about it, standing up to the plate and saying, hey, I have a TBI, I have brain injury, and what is that about? What can I do? What can I can't do? Because remember, rehabilitation many times is all about what you can't do. That was always my struggle. I beat the odds sort of in a way in order that I really had to embrace that and understand and then seek out other areas that would say what I could do. Many times that was just my pushing through. So, again, with his story, that's exactly what he did. He pushed through. And we looked at all the things that he had intact, all the things he could do, and to build and enhance those skills. Another person I worked with actually was in a car accident, was a passenger in the back of a car, with alcohol involved, and the driver was intoxicated, and he was in the back seat, and he was in another country, so treatment there was very slow. It was a small place where he was injured. I don't want to give too many details or any details in order that anyone, for confidentiality. He was helicoptered out after the accident, but they had to fly so far to get him to a proper hospital that could deal with the bleeding and the swelling of his brain in his skull. And so what happened is blood built up. Had he had treatment initially, quickly, the amount of blood that built up and dried in the brain would likely have not, he wouldn't have come out of it with so much brain damage. His story is he lived with his mother and father and sister, and they had just as caregivers they had just been at odds with his TBI, and just it was a struggle because he had rage and would get angry and break things, and he broke many things in his room. He was also in a wheelchair, but he could handle his wheelchair really well, and sometimes he'd go down to the local 7-Eleven to get coffee and to socialize. His speech was impaired, but he would get across that highway, and it would just, his family was just, at odds. And what my goal there was, again, working with the family, but my goal there was to find a place that this person could live so the family could actually remove themselves from the constant trauma, back up a little bit, and help him from afar. So we look for a place in their community to have him live. And but the problem we ran into in many states have this complication, and that is, what do you do with a survivor that's 27 years old, and you put them in a convalescent home? That is the tragedy of what's going on here, at least in California, is there isn't any place to go with TBI. You can go to some of these specialty board and care kind of homes here. There's a few in California, but the problem there is it costs, upwards to $3,000 a month, and they don't generally accept a Medi-Cal. They might accept some payment through Social Security, but it's just not gonna work. That's a lot of money, and most families do not have the financial, because most survivors at this point are not working. And so they had all kinds of issues. Finally, this young guy got into the junior college. He went to the student disabilities program in his local area. He began to swim. He joined the swim program and started to learn more communication skills, and began to learn how to manage his rage. That's a very difficult one. It's very common with TBI, and it's very, very difficult on the survivor. It's very painful to the brain, but yet it's also very painful for the caregiver because of the situation it puts them in. And then there was another gal. I work with so many people, but these individuals came to my mind this morning as I was thinking over a cup of coffee. Some of the stories that I really, there was so much wonder in their recovery. I watched one young woman who actually wasn't exactly a TBI. She had suffered an aneurysm, and her issues were vocational. It's like, okay, now I've gotten through this, I handle my behavior better, and I need to find a job, Social Security. Her goal was to get off Social Security, and that she had been on, and support herself. I thought at the time that was a little bit of a grand goal, but a goal, no matter how grand, is a goal, and you need to have them. You need to be able to dream, and dream big. So we got her into a job in a supermarket where she was able to be a courtesy clerk. She had a beautiful smile, had a beautiful manner about her. However, she had behavioral issues, and I would go into the supermarket and sit down with the manager or talk to the manager on the phone and encourage them to maintain her as an employee, and that I, to some extent, would do some coaching around the issues. But the issue really was not so much that she had any kind of anger episodes. It was working with other people that was hard for her. She felt that she was less than, and that they were other people working there, the courtesy clerks, were making fun of her and trying to stick her with the longer shifts, and there was a lot of animosity that she felt was coming from other coworkers. So we worked on her skills in order to better handle, sort of mediate situations. If somebody said something to her, to just step back a little bit, think before talking, think a moment about how she wanted to handle it, how she wanted to respond, kind of, just take a minute. And so we worked on those kinds of issues with her. As I left the agency, she was still working for the supermarket. I hope she's still there. She had difficulties, social skills, where she lived with neighbors. So those were her issues. Around my philosophy, as I've built my philosophy to be where I am today, is that for me, poetry changed the structure of my brain. I believe that soothing the right brain helps calm down the left brain. I see that there's a conflict, and I see it as far as my story goes, that there was a conflict between, and is a conflict many times between my left brain and my right brain. I understand this now, and I feel that it is an understanding and a friendship that needs to happen. But again, this is your space. I want you to call in at 1-347-857-3755. And so I believe that poetry soothes the right brain, art, therapy, but for me it was poetry, and it just kind of relaxed me into working with my left brain task and made me more comfortable in my life, and I was able to accomplish a lot more, able to make better decisions in calming the left brain. I kind of see the left brain as the one, and I talked about this yesterday, and I see the left brain as sort of the negative talker, and given that you, the more negative you think and the more negative you talk out of your left brain, the more negative you bring to you, given the laws of attraction. And so moving in more to the right brain, you can meditate, you can soothe, you can read, write poetry, and do things that feel good, because the left brain can be quite a challenge and be very devastating. It's sort of like the discourager, the depressor, the negative talker. And so what you do if you've got left brain injuries, however that's where my injury occurred, then you find other parts of your brain. There's dead tissue in the brain when you have a brain injury. Everybody knows that, but how many of us push hard enough to utilize other parts of our brain, sort of the remapping, the new territory, the new frontier? That's what I did. I didn't know I was doing it. I just pushed. And as with the gentleman with the forklift story, the car accident in the other country, and with the gal that had the vocational services issue is how she came to the agency I work for, and social skills, these are stories of people who managed and who pushed on and found other parts of their brain that worked. I mean, a normal brain, or like normal in parens, a brain without an injury, so to speak, we utilize 10%. So that gives you 90% of the rest of your brain to travel through. And so that's what I recommended many times, working with individuals to challenge, but don't challenge to the point of becoming upset, overstressing. So meditate, find a spiritual outlet. I have found that is amazing to me, is to maintain that faith wherever you get it, God, universe, Buddhist philosophy, wherever you feel comfortable, laws of attraction, the higher potential. These are all magnificent philosophies for you to utilize to get underway. And take action. If you're depressed, take action. If you have your goals, take action. Take action every day in order to put that one foot in front of the other to attain your dreams. So my philosophy has just been that I believe that we have a romance side of the brain, that we have a romance gene in our brain, and that I had tapped into this, and it felt good. So as I was challenging my brain and pushing myself, I had something to go to, the right brain that was poetry and then became my ability to write later in my recovery, and I'm very fortunate to have been able to make the journey that I've made, where it's brought me to being an author and writing. And I just want to share as much as I can for you to challenge where you want to go and what your dreams are. And this show, let me just say, I do it by myself. It's a lot of hard work, and I'm going to need your help to keep it going. So I'm going to need you to call in, and because really, you know, I just think that your stories need to be told. I am one out of millions, and let's talk at 1-347-857-3755. At some point, I'm going to have music here, so that'll be nice, because then you'll be able to maybe feel more comfortable about calling in. And I just wanted to say too that I missed a couple calls last week. It was I caught them just as on the switchboard, just as you hung up. Please call back. I apologize for missing that. And just have a few more minutes of the show. And again, just I really appreciate you listening. And this is going to be this is my challenge. This show, to put on something that I feel that, you know, I want you to learn and get information, the news. And find stories in other people's stories like your own. And to those of you that don't accept your disability, I hope you do, because you're wasting time. You're delaying in your success. You're stagnating, in my opinion. And I just want everybody out there to just learn to embrace your story and your TBI. And that's what this place is about. Well, I'm going to kind of just be silent for a few minutes as we close, and I want to thank those of you listening for joining me today. I will be here live each Sunday morning at 9 a.m. Until, you know, if call in, help support this show. For those of you in the chat room, please leave any questions you have for me, and I will post my answers for you in my next blog. Always remind yourself of who you are, how much you've accomplished, and where you want to be next. Survivors know how to reframe their picture. Many people today, without an injury, are being forced to learn how to remanufacture themselves with job, family, or home loss. Faithfully reassess again and again where you are in the present moment. Then hold that up against your dream to ask, is this the path? If the answer is no, you know what to do. Change the path. Keep your mind's eye open to your dream, where you want to go. And wake up every day, challenge yourself, but also find something to use your right brain to soothe your recovery. So thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. Have a beautiful Sunday. Talk to you next Sunday.